Okay, we're talking to Tad Murray, also known as Bo Brady, a former WKLO disc jockey. Hey, Tad, how's it going?
Hey, it's going good, John. How's John?
John's doing okay today. I'm glad we finally got a chance to connect and talk about your time at WKLO Radio, which was when exactly?
Oh, that's so long ago. Let's see. Late March 1974 up until early 79, about 5 years. I was on the air for 2 weeks when the big tornado hit.
Oh, wow, wow.
Oh, man, you know, and that was crazy. I'm going, what in the world is going on? But, yeah, in March of 74.
How did you get your job at KLO?
Yeah, let me give you a history. I was raised in Lebanon Junction out in Bullock County,
okay,
a little bitty town. Wasn't much to do in Lebanon Junction except drink and, well, let's say most people in Lebanon Junction are interrelated, if you follow me. Yeah, well, that's fact.
Lots of kissing cousins, huh?
Yeah, so I grew up with Wacky and KLO, and in 68, I was in Western Kentucky University. I was bored, very bored with college, wanted to be on radio. You know, the chicks were a draw, too, you know. Who would a girl rather hang out with, her favorite disc jockey or her insurance agent? So,
yeah.
You know. So I had to talk some damn fool into letting me use his microphone. I had a friend at WBRT in Pineville, got a job there. I thought I'd move to Mars. We had snake handlers coming on Sunday morning and all that.
Yeah.
From there, I went to Somerset for a while and to WSAC at Fort Knox, close to home. They were doing rock and roll. A couple of years there, I went to KSO in Des Moines. So then, how did I get the gig? Robin Walker, who was Bob Franklin, KLO program director, he was consulting the competition in Des Moines. And he called me up and asked me if I would like to come to work at KLO. And I went, well, you know, I hummed and hawed and told him I'd think about it. And meanwhile, I was telling the wife to, you know, go pack the bags, honey. So I got to Louisville two afternoons. Didn't like the name Bo Brady. Robin was running promos, though, from Harvey Sloan, the mayor, welcoming Bo Brady to Louisville.
So he made up that name for you, and previously you used your real name?
Yeah, Chuck Brady was on before me, and we sounded quite a bit alike, so he said. And so it was Chuck Brady into Bo Brady trying to, you know, maintain some continuity. So that was it.
So that was the only time that you were Bo Brady during your KLO days?
Yeah. It was Tad Murray when I went to WAMSI, Tad Murray, and yeah, that was it, buddy.
All right, so you got the job at KLO, and you were back closer to home, and growing up listening to Wacky or KLO, did you ever think that you would work at either one of those places?
No, but I wanted to. You know, it was a pipe dream. Big Bill Love was doing nights then, and the signal blew into Lebanon Junction, so yeah, I was, oh yeah, Bill, man, I want to be like that, and it was great. Yeah, never thought I'd work there, but got directed that way. That's what happened.
You know, at that time, WKLO and WAKY were pretty much fighting tooth and nail. You never knew who was going to be number one at that time in the early 70s. Was there a preference on you to, like, if, you know, now the time has passed, you would have rather worked at Wacky, or was KLO just as good, if not better, as the Super 79?
Well, I liked them both. The thing in Lebanon, you know, KLO's signal was basically north-south. So in Lebanon Junction on down, you know, Bowling Green and all that, it was KLO, and Wacky's was east-west. So here in Lexington, you could pick up Wacky. Great. Spent most of the time listening to KLO. Over the years, looking back on it, Johnny Randolph was so good at picking personnel. You know, he knew talent. And, man, he staffed Wacky, and he was a good counter-programmer, too. So hats off to Wacky, man. They did an incredible job. But it was tooth and nail. Wacky won the ratings most of the time, but KLO gave him a good battle. Of course, I was there right, you know, right at the end of the top 40 era.
The music being successful on AM radio.
Yeah, that was it. You know, tastes were changing in top 40. Wasn't getting it with the younger audience in. Little station in Louisville, WLRS, comes along. They're playing album music and neat stuff. And, gee, music sounds better on FM. All of a sudden, about 1979, that was the decline of both Wacky and KLO. So I got in before it was gone, thank goodness.
You know, it seemed like looking at AM radio at that time, WHAS suddenly came on strong. And if you were listening to AM radio, people were impressed by HAS. They'd brought Gary Burbank in there. Wayne Perkey was doing a good job. They didn't sound like your grandmother's radio station anymore. They became fairly contemporary. They had a great news department. And my observations is that stations like Wacky and KLO kind of wanted to morph into an adult contemporary radio station. Suddenly it wasn't the screaming top 40. or as like in the early 70s at WKLO under Bill Hennis, the I'm boogier than you are, you know,
delivery.
It seemed like KLO, from the air checks that I've heard, got more AC faster than wacky. It seemed like it would transition more towards that AC format that was coming on strong than wacky.
To an extent, I guess KLO tried. Robin Walker, Bob got really tired of doing it and decided to bail out. And here comes Lee Gray as program director. Lee was a great talent. He was really not a program director. He was difficult. A little difficult to work with. And
what do you mean by that?
He could be a jerk.
He wasn't very tactful.
Lee? Not at all. No, he was. He knew he was a jerk, and he worked at it. But it was really that time going through the change. He didn't know quite how to handle it. Whatever consultants we had didn't know how to handle it, and that was when the change started. And within 2 years, KLO was country.
You're talking about 2 years from 79.
2 years from 79, 80, late 80, 81. I believe that's right. But yeah,
WCII, yeah, after doing that kind of lateral simulcast with the FM after going to the KJ 100 thing.
Right, they called me up and wanted me to do mornings at CII as Bo Brady, and I went, no, not interested.
We're getting a little ahead of ourselves here. Let's go back and talk about some of the people that you worked with at WKLO during those 5 years, some of the people that stand out that you remember, maybe you're even friends with still today.
Gee, there were so many. Well, let's see. People were Bill Love, big Bill Love. Bill's down in Evansville, been there forever. Gary Major. Gary did middays. Super guy. He's still around. We stay in touch a bit. Shotgun Sam Lee. Shotgun's out in Seattle now, I believe. Talked to him on occasion. There was Ty Meredith. Ty, great newsman, super newsman. Dave Straub, also in news. Dave's down in Atlanta now. Barry Steiger. Barry was on news. Shirley Smith, of course. Shirley went on to NPR. And then the guys from around Louisville knew the town. Gary Griffin, Jackson Smith, Mac Hunter, Hitman Mac. And then, of course, there was Lee. And, like I say, John, there were so many that, you know, stand out that I can't remember them all, can't mention them all. And they were good people. We had some good talent.
Were most of the guys in and out after a year or so, or did you have a lot of people? I know Gary Major was there for a long time. Did you have a lot of folks like yourself that stayed for 5 years, which is basically an eternity in radio and now?
It was mixed. Bill Love was there for 8 or 10 years, and... I guess Gary was there for 7 or 8 years total, and I was there 5, so most of the rest of them in and out. One I remember, Dan Masden, and Dan was working nights, and Dan knew if he continued to be a disc jockey, he wasn't good enough, he'd be there for the rest of his life doing something. So he flipped over to sales, and now Dan, of course, is president of CBS Radio.
So he did okay for himself.
Yeah.
Staying in radio, yeah, yeah.
People went, came and went, other people stayed. I toughed it out as long as I could.
What about the management of WKLO? Let's see, Robin Walker, you said, was the program director that hired you, and Lee Gray came after that. Were there any other PDs that you worked for at KLO?
When Lee left, Gary Major came in.
Okay.
He took over program director. That's when I left. Bernie Thompson replaced Ernie Gudridge as general manager.
Yeah.
And Bernie fired me. And it seemed that Bernie didn't agree with the rock and roll lifestyle. And I think he was part of the reason that Bill Love left, too. But we'd stay out all night and party and have fun, and he thought that wasn't befitting of morning men. And I don't know. But anyway, he let me go.
And this was in 79?
This was in 79, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, pretty much the rock and roll days had died for KLO. It was, you know, had one foot in the grave as far as a big top 40 station, right?
Don't say one foot in the grave. It makes me feel bad. Man, come on now. You know?
So you had a great staff there. Anything that really stands out when you think of your WKLO days, some wacky promotions or things that happened inside or outside the radio station that just kind of crystallizes your big 1080 experience?
Well, to be honest with you, there was so much going on. Over at Wacky and at KLO, we were a bunch of young guys having fun and playing rock and roll. And most times, we're good. only the really bad times stand out. And I don't want to go into bad times or badmouth anybody or anything. You know, that's not what it should do. We had fun. All in all, a couple of things I remember. One night I drove down to the station and pulled up in front, and here's Shotgun Sam standing on a turntable with the turntable running, and he's spinning around, standing up on this poor turntable, grinding and grinding and grinding, dancing on it. And thank goodness we had switched to carts, because I'm sure that turntable was shot after that.
Yeah.
One day, this college girl out in Vine Grove, out in Hardin County, was home from Eastern Kentucky University, and she was listening to me on the radio, sunning in the backyard, the day that I told her Elvis had died. And 15 years later, I married that college girl.
Wow.
She tells me about it quite often. Remember the day? I do. And I'm going, yes, I certainly do. So that was one of the good and bad memories. Elvis died.
How did WKLO handle that with the Elvis death? Do you remember that? When you found out about it, did you all change your programming? You play a lot of Elvis music, open the phones. What did you all do?
I believe we were playing Elvis at top and bottom of the hour. I think that's what we did. Nothing overt, but it was still a tribute to the king, and we did our part.
What about working in Showcase Studios? That was one of the most famous things about WKLO. It was in a storefront display window, and you guys were there for the entire world to see, to walk by, and I don't know if that glass was bulletproof or not, but or if you ever needed it to be.
Okay, here's a story for you. When the busing problem was going on in Louisville about 74 and 75, somebody came to the studio late one evening, or late one afternoon, and apparently with a .22 low-caliber handgun, fired at the window and put a divot in the glass. Still a little bitty hole in the glass. We kept the shades drawn for about a week after that. But if you walk by there right now, the glass is still there, and there's that little bitty hole where somebody fired something at it.
Was that a lot of fun, other than being shot at, to work in a Showcase studio? Because I never had that experience. I know Wacky's was kind of a semi-Showcase studio where people could walk by and take a look at you. Was that kind of a cool thing?
People walk by and show you things, too, when they walk by. Uh-huh. Some things you didn't want to see, and others you made mention of. But Bill Love, he decided he was going to streak his show one day, so the only thing he had on in the Showcase studio, here's Big Bill sitting there. He had it on his underwear. You couldn't see his underwear. And that drew a little bit of a crowd walking to work. Yeah, the Showcase was fun. Got a lot of feedback from it, and people banging on the windows and trying to yell things through triple pane glass and couldn't do it. Yeah, it was fun. Sure was.
Looking back on your broadcast career, was WKLO the highlight or just one of the top five places you worked?
Oh, one of the top five places, yeah. It was good. It was fun. Like I said again, you know, we were young guys. We were having fun. Rock and roll radio and women to boot. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It fit the point for a guy that was 26, 27 years old. Nice thing about KLO and Wacky, a lot of these guys were local. If you called up and said, hey, man, I'm calling from Anchorage. Well, the guy on the air knew where Anchorage was. Another guy called up and said, I'm from Valley Station. I wanted to request so and so and so. Well, the jock on the air knew about Valley Station. He knew how the people felt. And you don't find that nowadays. You know, it's just not there. Yeah.
So what about leaving there? I guess you said you were fired in 79. Where did you go after that?
Went to WRKA for a brief period, which was WNUU. And while I was there, they changed to WRKA. One day, Coyote called up. He said, hey, man, we're going live with WAMZ. I said, country music? He said, yeah, we want rock and roll jocks to play country music. I said, sounds good to me. So I went to work for AMZ and was there 6.5 years. Now, that was a great place to work.
That does sound like a great job. Why would you ever want to leave WAMZ? I mean, the station was like number one in the market. And
oh, boy. I was dating a girl in Lexington, the college girl. Ralph Hacker called one day. Now, there was another difficult guy to work with. Ralph called and asked me if I wanted to program K93, VLK-FM. Yeah. And I said, no. And then I thought about it, and the wrong brain was thinking about the move. So I came to Lexington, left WAMZ, came to Lexington, and the difference between Louisville and Lexington was night and day. When I got up here, it was a good old boy radio. And I managed to stay with Hacker about 3.5 years, and then it came to an end. Dropped out of broadcasting for about 5 years, tried to do my own thing, wasn't satisfied. Then went to work for J-Corps, which became Clear Channel here in Lexington.
What were some of the things you did when you dropped out of broadcasting?
Well, I worked human resources at Toyota, and it was a good place to work, but looking over your shoulder all the time, the corporate mentality and the corporate situation, I wasn't happy with that. I was in Georgetown.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, decided I was going to start a business, importing Scottish and British goods. And that lasted for 4 or 5 years, but the market really wasn't there to pay the bills. So I dropped out of that. I went to Scotland when I left. We went on vacation right as I was leaving WAMZ and got messed up in the Scottish thing. Murray being a fine Scottish name, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Got my kilt and the whole bit. So that turned me on to that, but I found out that wasn't what I wanted to do. And finally, J-Corps called and said, you want to come to work? And I said, well, yeah, of course. So I went to work for J-Corps. They built this brand-new state-of-the-art studios in 99, and everything was fine for a couple of years. And then here comes the Beelzebub of broadcasting, Clear Channel. And when Clear Channel took over, things started changing quickly. Of course, we all know about Clear Channel.
What J-Corps station did you work for?
J-Corps had the Bull, WBUL. There was the Rocker in town, WKQQ. And WLAP, Tom Leach, who does U.K. basketball and U.K. football, Tom and I did the morning show for about 5 years, and all of a sudden Clear Channel walked in, and this was when things were getting real tight, about 09, and Clear Channel walked in one morning and said, boys, it's up in 2 weeks. We're going satellite. So Clear saved themselves a whole bunch of money, and we were out of a job.
You talking about WLAP?
WLAP.
Okay.
Sure was. That's when I decided, I think I better just settle back here and sort of semi-retire, which I did. Clear Channel came in, and a couple other things in my life. I got a real good alcohol problem that I decided I better take care of, which I did, thank goodness, and decided I was going to semi-retire. Now, the whore in me says, go get a part-time job in commercial radio. The thinking part of me says, no, don't do it. So right now, the only thing I'm doing, besides taking a bunch of day trips, is reading for the blind, Central Kentucky Radio I. They run on the subcarriers of WUKY and WUOL. They've got 5,000 or 6,000 subscribers. And we do everything from the Kroger ads to newspapers to novels. It's a fun thing to do, and it may be helping somebody.
Now, do you miss radio, being on the air, doing that morning show at WLAP or, playing the hits on WKLO back in the 70s?
I miss playing the hits. Miss playing the hits. Yeah, I like news and sports and all that and the stuff Tom and I were doing, but as far as the boogie-woogie, I still got enough of that. I do miss playing the hits, man. That was fun. Really was. You get to the point in your life, we all have those ups and downs, and I remember asking Alyssa, that college girl, one day I was depressed and low. I said, what have I done with my life? You know, what have I managed to do for somebody else? And she just looked around and said, you made a lot of people feel good. And I said, yeah, I guess I did. And that was it. Yeah. It was a fun time. It was a great time. The whole 40 years was fun.